Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Alistair, you might not know this, but humans have been shaving for thousands of years. And Alistair, this is a really a humorous take on that thought starter there about Harry's ads. But imagine if that person who'd been shaving for thousands of years was just one guy who'd just have a really funny. Long shave. You know,
that's right. Maybe he found a genie.
Yeah. Yes. I'm really interested to see how you pull this together, Al.
He had a genie. He found a genie who wanted to help him with some.
Oh God!
With some business idea where he got to live for a long time and look clean shaven. He was going for the record on the longest period of time clean shaven. That's what the genie wanted, and he needed a human to be able to enter because that was part of the the criteria.
Wait, okay, so the genie has somehow got involved in it's some sort of like it's a competition that the genie wants to enter.
Yeah.
Right. Some sort of maybe a shaving company is offering this as a promotion, and I guess the genie thinks that this is his opportunity to win a large quantity of razors or something like that.
Yeah, he thought a long distance, you know, like an endurance contest on who can be clean shaven for the longest. I could. I feel like I'm really well positioned to win this.
But he can't enter himself. So instantly, he loses all of the advantage that he would normally have just being a genie, right?
And yet, from being a genie, yeah.
And instead of just magicking up a lot of razors or just magicking it so that he doesn't need to shave at all, he finds a patsy to enter this competition for him, yeah?
Yeah,
and then,
that's right. Offering him like a packet of razors.
Yep. Okay. He'll get his cut, right?
Yeah.
And in order to win this competition, he extends the lifespan of this one guy to thousands of years.
That's right.
That's right. Okay. And then at the end of that thousands of years period, the genie gets a lifetime supply of razors.
That's right. From this company, which now would be a huge conglomerate,
or a distant memory. Or nothing but dust in a desert.
But if they're still going, if he's extended, I assume that he's extending this human's life on a 1 year basis, or it's like a 4 year lease extension.
Okay. Sure.
So long as they still haven't won. So there must be either some other genie who is entering another human.
What the scenario doesn't need is a second genie.
Well, or like a vampire is passing as a human and is doing a really good job at staying. So that's why they, after thousands of years, the competition, they still haven't bailed because they still think that they could win this.
You absolutely talk me around. And you know, if there is
to win it, he eventually just has to convince the other competitor, maybe a vampire, to go move to another planet. And that's the only way because they realize it's a deadlock.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got his infinite genie magic, and the vampire will just live forever so long as there are humans to drink the blood of.
Mm. And that genie, he really wants those razors. He's sick of waiting. And I tell you what, if there was a shaving company that I would bet will still be around in 1,000 years' time, it's Harry's. And if you go to harrys.com/think tank, you can get a glimpse, a taste of just why that might be. And remember, this is the 15-second tease at the start of the episode. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Rinkin' dinkin', I gotta think it. What's that guy doing over there? What's that guy doing to his hair? What's that guy got on his face? He's shaving his hair with a razor from space. It's harrys.com/thinktanks. New Earth or geostationary shaving satellite. And they'll shave your hair from space, from a low Earth orbit, using a collinear laser. That's not the ad. That's not true. Alistair, how you going?
I'm doing good. I'm just writing down. Genie wants to win a stay clean shaven contest.
It's not often that you get a sketch idea before the song. That's when you know we're onto something.
That's when you know we're firing.
Yes.
I was thinking about this satellite laser shaver that you were discussing.
Yeah.
And my thinking was, you see, so because you know, just as an idea, it's not a sketch yet, right?
Okay.
It's like a laser that shaves you, and it's maybe, you know, and maybe it is being shot from Germany, maybe, you know,
from the Harry's factory.
From the Harry's factory, yeah. That's where they decided to install the laser on the roof. And to promote it, they mounted a production of laser on the roof. It was Fiddler on the Roof, but it's with just a big laser instead. Okay. And they've every time it mentions a fiddler or Jewish culture, it just kind of a fiddler is replaced with laser, and Jewish culture is replaced with light.
This is amazing because I was just thinking I don't know anything about Fiddler on the Roof except that it's called Fiddler on the Roof, and now you've brought in an extra fact, which is that it's something to do with Jewish culture. And
I'll be
interested to know is if you have even one more additional fact.
There's this. I think there's a song that goes like this. If I were a rich man,
I would fiddle on the roof every single day. I would fiddle on my roof all the time. Fiddle on my fiddling roof.
If I were a laser, which I am.
I love how one of the rules of comedy is that if you get into a riff about a topic, you use every single fact that you know about that topic.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to sort of create this sort of little bubble of authority, this little false bubble of authority. And so the way that you do that is by dumping every single thing that you might possibly count for knowledge about that out as quickly as possible, in the hope of fooling whoever's listening into thinking, oh, this person knows what they're talking about. I don't have to question anything else that they'll say. And then, bam, you hit them with some sort of little twist or comedy punchline.
That's right. That's right.
It's the well-analyzed. It's the factoid dump that comes before a...
That's what I call my butt.
Yep.
Okay, so it's not just a laser that comes from a satellite that shaves you, because there's also a competing company that uses a laser from a satellite to do laser hair removal.
Okay, and
you see, and so that's more permanent.
Yeah,
it's more expensive, but and it hurts. but. You don't have to get it done as often.
Yeah. Thank God.
You know?
I mean, imagine if you had to get it done more.
No. It's, despite it coming from the sky, that these aren't from God.
Yeah.
But that's a... I mean, that's what you would call it, though, isn't it? Thank God.
Thank God.
Yeah. Thank God. Satellite laser hair removal.
I mean, I wonder if we could somehow get God involved. You know, like say you did have a satellite, say you have a satellite in orbit, right? But nobody else knows about satellites, all right? And what you choose to do, you put the first satellite in orbit, and you do have this this hair removal laser on the satellite, okay? And the way in which you choose to deploy this technology is to convince everybody that you that there is a God, okay, and that you can remove anybody's hair that you choose to, right? And it would appear to the poor, simple folk, the peasants subsisting off the land, that you did have this godlike power. But I wonder how long it would be before the peasants started to notice that you couldn't actually do much else. You're very limited.
Other than shave their bit of their arm.
Yes. And how long would your until your authority, your power over them began to wane? And, you know, while you could still strike all the hairs from their head or, you know, their upper lip or something like that, they would no longer fear you.
Yeah. I guess if you did a full animal right in front of them, that would, again, I mean, again, they would go, well, again, this is another hair one. It would be nice to see you, you know, expand, you know, widen your net a little bit.
Mm. I like the idea of a god who is limited in power. Like, I don't know if there are any, like, are all gods sort of omnipotent? Or are they all...
No, I think there must be... Yeah, I think there's limits. I think there is limits.
Right, so...
And there's probably these, like, gods of war and things like that. They must have, like, a jurisdiction.
Mm. But, like, the gods of war, right? I think maybe godliness, war, is sort of like their specialty. But I think they could probably... I reckon they are kind of, like, still a jack of all trades. Like, they could, you know, turn you into a statue of gold or something like that. Like, it might not be as good you know, your standard omnipotent god statue of gold. But I reckon they'd give it a... They'd do you up one, you know?
Yeah, okay. And I guess it's sort of just like being a general practitioner, and then you specialize a little bit in like ear, nose, and throat.
Yeah, exactly.
There is also the idea that I think also with the God thing is that if God was running these lasers, right, it would kind of look like, you know, with him with his long hair and his beard and stuff like that, and he's just shooting people and taking their hair off. And he would look like sort of like a Scrooge McDuck, like a guy with money who just is trying to make sure that nobody else can have hair. You know, like a guy with lots of hair.
Yeah.
Who's like, I want to be the only guy with hair.
Yeah, and he
makes everybody else bald.
And he's got a big room full of hair that he dives into and swims around.
Yeah, and when like people who he's interested in sexually or who might be interested in him sexually arrive in heaven, they're all like, oh my God, look at that big luscious head of hair.
And look,
I haven't
at that.
Seen somebody with that much hair since I saw a baby, one of those weird babies that's born right before, you know, with lots of hair right before he goes and shaves it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was your idea?
I don't know if my idea was anything at all. I mean, I had that original idea of you have this hair removal laser and you use it to try and convince people that you're a god. You know, like it could be you travel back in time with your hair removal laser due to some sort of freak accident, or maybe you go to a different planet, or even you just try and interact with some sort of lost tribe and you're trying to convince them of your power of deities. You know, and maybe when people come to do prayers or whatever and they pray to your Lord, you try and sort of massage their prayers and guide them towards praying for things that basically involve having less hair on various bits of their body, in the full knowledge that you can't actually help with anything else. But then after a while they start to say, well, I think it might be something else. You know, I might want more. And... you know, you have to confront the fact that you know they confront you about your inadequacies.
I think it's really beautiful what you've done.
Yeah, you're gonna write it down.
It's already written down, Andy. You were talking for such an extended period of time. I really had a chance to sort of write out a whole paragraph.
Oh, thank God.
It was
thank
good.
God. Yeah.
You know, it's just because I guess you can't see me now when I'm writing things down. And so you just sort of sit there uncomfortable.
I just freewheel, you know?
Yeah, that's okay.
Thanks. Yeah.
I mean,
new
if there was an animal that... Was that?
No, no, you go.
If there was an animal that humans should strive to be more like, is there one that comes to mind?
Well, the first thing that I thought of was those goats that climb up really, really, really steep mountains with nothing but their little hooves. And then when they're up there, smash their heads against each other. I don't know why that came to mind, but I do think...
But just sort of putting ourselves in more kind of compromising sort of positions and then being violent towards each other.
Well, here's an observation, that there is no combat version of rock climbing. And I think that that is sort of the next thing, isn't it? Because...
Oh, yeah. It's on its way.
At the moment, we've gone regular rock climbing with ropes, etc. You know, where the rope's already there. Then they went to that one where you take the rope up and you've got to sort of attach it as you go up, right? And then they went to that other one where you have no ropes at all and you just sort of climb. And now I think...
Free climbing,
right? And then I think the next one is that, but there's two of you and you're trying to push each other off.
And yeah, sure. And so are we back on ropes now?
No ropes.
So this is just free climbing.
Yes.
Rope free. Because I guess, you could imagine that there already exists a combat abseiling.
Yes, I think so. With the swinging and the banging. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? There should be one where you throw like slime at the other person and like really slip up the wall, like slippery it up.
Mm-hmm.
So that as they're putting down their foot, then they slide and they hit their face on the wall. I think that could be fun.
I think I've seen a lot of sports have got like a movie sort of that sort of explores that kind of thing. You know, where you're like you'll have real dirty competitors in some kind, but I haven't seen that done with rock climbing. And I think I don't know what the movie Cliffhanger is about. Maybe that.
Surely not. I mean, surely there's no battles out there. I mean, a Sylvester Stallone movie. It's about the growth of the self.
That's right. The only battle is between him and the wall.
Him and the mountain.
But I think
between him and gravity.
I think
battle.
Yeah, free climbing. It's full contact rock climbing, and
full contact free climbing.
Yeah, and we could you know introduce in the movie that we're making about this. Some sort of evil character who does have like a little backpack that shoots slime or something like that, or he spits on your fingers or something to try and make them slippery.
That's right. He's got a really accurate spit.
He can spit
right on the end of your fingers, and he uses that power to try to convince you that he's God.
I will put this out there, Alistair, and I'm sorry about this.
Yeah.
But in a way, The human body already does have a kind of a gun that shoots slime, at least the male body. And if okay, Alistair, I'm onto something here. Because if everybody came into existence fully formed in human bodies, but with no knowledge of the use of any of the parts of the bodies,
that's
and
right.
no understanding of sex, I think you would really struggle to come to a logical explanation for the existence of the penis and its erectile
and its goop
shooting functions. I strongly think that you would hypothesize that that existed to shoot slime at your enemies while you are free climbing.
I mean, say it's day one.
Yes.
Right?
Day one, human everyone arrival, arrives in their bodies.
Human arrival, day one. Mm-hmm. You, somehow, in the first couple of hours...
Yes, get into a competitive rock climbing scenario.
first, become unbelievably familiarized with your erect penis. And...
Yes.
Get a real idea for the functioning of the sexual organs and its purpose, right? And then you get involved in a full contact rock climbing competition, and then you use this knowledge,
yeah,
to slime up somebody else's, I guess, foothold.
Correct.
They slip. They smash their face.
Yeah, well, I think they probably die. Let's be honest.
And then, well, yeah, they probably die depending on how high up you do it. I guess they haven't invented mats yet. Probably, they're too busy inventing the rock climbing wall
and I guess that could just familiarizing be themselves face. With their penis. Yes.
Yeah. No. I mean, I'm totally into that.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. I mean, I've written down full contact free climbing. I think it would also work for me if you were allowed, like, throwing knives and
like, yeah,
ninja stars and stuff.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, it feels like it's, if you're not allowed ropes and that sort of thing, it feels like bringing in non, you know, weapons and that is kind of going against the spirit of the thing.
But so I guess this idea, so let's say once, you know, let's think a week ahead, right? They're sort of in the second season of this competition.
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, the 12th season. They might be going through one season every competition every day.
Yeah.
Everybody knows all of the tricks now. Everybody's using the ejaculate trick. And then everybody's realized you can also spit to make the people's hands. As well as, you know, fight and things like that. But imagine that when everybody realizes they're just going to be going at, like, kind of getting close to each other. And then it's going, like that. Two people just spitting at each other. Maybe one's moving away while the other one's applying pressure. But just,
yeah,
and just spitting at each other. Just trying to, you know, loosen each other's grip.
Yes, Alistair. Correct. I think it'd be great.
I think it's going to be great, but it's just great to think ahead. Because, you know, this is kind of like what happened with UFC, right? The first UFC won.
Is spitting allowed in UFC?
No, I don't think so. No. I mean, this is not specific to spitting.
Yeah.
But it was that the whole idea at the beginning was like, let's get all these different martial arts and fighting styles to fight against each other. Let's get ourselves this, like, sumo guy and put him up against a boxer. Let's get this, like, you know, kung fu master and put him up against some, you know, a wrestler.
Yeah.
And the first guy who won that thing was like a Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy who could grapple and wrestle, right? And it turned out that all these fighting styles were useless unless you learned how to defend against getting grappled.
Yep.
And making the guy making you submit.
That was the nuclear bomb of
And then UFC. And so then everybody had to learn how to. So now you can't enter this without knowing how to do all that shit, be an all rounder.
Yeah.
And so that's the same thing, but with spitting, you know, on the wall thing.
Now, you were talking about how often they change the rules of the competition in this rock climbing competition. But I'm interested in general sport sort of situations and how frequently we could change the rules in any sport. And I think, personally, I think at least once per game. I think there should be different rules.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be big changes, but I think there should be a new rule at the start of every game. You know, Australian rules football, there's a new rule every single game, okay? Sometimes, even halfway through the game, a new rule comes in, right? It so just like, gets announced.
Yeah, and so what kind of rule are you thinking? Because so far, I mean, I'm not a smart man, right? But my first one was like, okay, halfway through, and the guy comes to your circle of buddies there who play sport with you, and they go, all right, everybody's left leg is now called Mark.
Sorry.
All right, see you later.
I didn't catch that.
Everybody's left leg is now called Mark.
Yeah. I mean, so, and that's a rule. That's a rule.
Yeah, that's a rule. Now.
Yeah.
Within the universe of the game.
Don't break that rule.
Yeah.
Okay. How would you break that rule? Sorry to put you on the spot like this, Alistair, but how do you picture somebody violating the your left leg is called mark rule in a game of AFL?
One of your players goes down.
Yep.
You say to the ref, he's injured his left leg. That's an instant red card. they've also brought in red cards into this game. they put that in at the beginning.
Yeah.
Instant red card.
No,
that means you're
out. That's good.
And then you should have said, he injured Mark.
Mm. I think what it is, right, is that the rules get announced in a little in-ear earpiece, right, into the players while they're playing. Everyone just hears it, right? And then it's suddenly like, you know, you can't use your left leg to kick or something like that, whatever. And then, but the audience doesn't, the crowd doesn't know what the rule is.
Really?
So they're just watching, trying to guess what it is. And then that, you can, if you're the first person in the audience to shout out, "Gimme gotcha," right? That means that you.
Gimme gotcha.
You get to have a guess about what the new rule is. Right?
Yeah.
And then you can get a prize, like a free sandwich or something.
I think maybe having a guest should cost $5.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Otherwise, it might just get a bit disruptive of the game.
Yeah. And so you can just, there's just an app. You can pay $5. You can guess what the what the thing is. There could even be a chat room where people can just stay and watch people guessing.
And see, this way, the audience is really involved.
Really involved.
Okay.
And they're really watching. Like, they're really, like, paying a lot of attention.
Mm. And
a lot of time people just want to, like, put on sports so that they can drink.
Not anymore. No. Especially because
be
you can also
is amphetamines so that you can stay awake and focus.
Ah, a nice drink of amphetamines. Yes. Drink up your amphetamines, do you? But over this app, now that you've introduced an app, I don't see why you couldn't be submitting rule ideas as well. You know,
oh, that's good.
And then yours might be the one that gets randomly selected for the sport. And this way the game will evolve.
And is this just one sport, or is the new sport, you play a sport and then we'll change the rules while you're playing? Is that the sport?
That's the sport. There's only one sport, and the rules are constantly changing.
But right? As in, like, let's say I'm the company who, like, I'm the rule change league, right? The RCL, right? And I come to you and I say, "Would you like to play the RCL? This involves you playing whatever sport I'm telling you you're playing at the beginning of the day, right? You and your team. And then I'm going to change the rules." Or we should, like, as in, like, you could be playing, like, one day you're playing Frisbee, the next day you're playing Aussie rules football, right? And then I'm changing the rules? Or do you think it should just be one sport?
I think we don't have, in the whole world, there's only one sport now, right? But
okay.
It starts out with a certain set of rules at the start of the season, and by the end of the season, this sport is unrecognizable, right?
That's cool. Yeah,
and
I like that.
There'd be so much to commentate on. There'd be so much to discuss in those before the game shows and that sort of thing, talking about how the players are adapting, you know, speculating about what could be to come.
Mm,
I don't watch
a lot
of sport, Alistair, but I think that this might get me interested.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never managed to get my head around...
There's only one sport, and that's change.
Exactly. So, anyway, that's a sketch idea. Right?
Yeah, no, I like that. Because I think also people would try and predict what the next rule changes would be based on the kind of ideas that have just come.
Mm.
Of course. You know, we've seen something like this. You know, we've seen a few things in changing the shape of the ball and the number of legs you're allowed to use per game. So we're thinking that the next thing will probably be in the arm region or will be time-based.
Of course, what they don't realize is that it's totally random. There is no logic or rhyme or reason.
That's right, because the people who came up with this thing are very lazy. And they wrote a program at the beginning of all this.
Mm-hmm.
And they just press a button and then it just runs and then they just have to read it out. But they're raking it in. There's only one sport.
Not tuned back in. They don't watch it. They're too busy diving into their pool full of hair.
Pool full of God hair.
God hair. I reckon if you could get one hair off God's head, you could probably use that to floss your teeth for life. You'd never need to replace that.
Depending on how thick it is, though.
I don't think it'd be very thick. I mean, how thick do you think God's hair is?
Well, I mean, God might be huge, and so his follicles might be way bigger.
Oh, God. I never thought about that. His hairs are like as thick as your wrist or something like that?
Yeah.
Oh, yuck.
Because God's from a long time ago, so he's probably megafauna.
Yeah, possibly, but I don't think even megafauna had really thick hairs on their body.
We don't know that.
No, you're right, I don't know that. And now that I've said it, I'm realizing that the hair, that like the spines of like a hedgehog or something like that, are hairs, aren't they? They're just like evolved hairs that are just really, really thick. I think it's a real shame to think that you couldn't run your hand through God's luscious hair, though.
Well, you might still be able to. Each strand might just be as thick as your finger.
Yeah, but then I don't think you can run it through. It wouldn't be the same. It would be sort of like a box of twigs or something, you know.
Well, you could do it by actually running.
You could run in amongst it, just run your hand.
Like it's a cornfield.
Yes, you could be chased by the police through God's scalp. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Is that anything?
Is that a sketch? Yeah. Well, I guess there's a few things there, but. God's hair and running through God's hair.
That you do scamper about on his scalp, and I guess he wouldn't have lice or flaking skin or anything like that. Like it would be.
I guess it could be. It's a sketch about somebody getting to meet God, and then having to deal with the reality of it.
Mm.
Firstly, he's huge, and it's not all that practical to get to talk to him because he's so far most of the time and things like that. But then he's also got a lot of people vying for his attention.
And they're all running all over his body. Maybe we are the lice, you know, and he's scratching and writhing around as we like run around through his hair and fall into his skin pores and that sort of thing. It'd be hell for him.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And then he's got all those people who are praying, so coming to him via some telekinesis kind of thing.
You're right. So he'd be hearing voices in his head, scratching at his body, shouting about like little creatures that are getting under his skin. God would in many ways be like a meth addict.
That's right. Exactly.
So and think about that.
That's why we have all been made in his image.
Is that why?
Really, aren't we all, eh?
Aren't we all?
Well, I think so. And so that's why, I mean, you know, we're born similar, but we have to work our way towards looking exactly like him. By taking meth.
Yes. Is that a sketch? Has any of this been a sketch? There's got to be something in there, Alistair.
Yeah.
Oh, you said about meeting God and the impracticalities of it. No, I think there's a world to explore there, and I like it a lot. Does God have a butthole?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah, and you would get to know it intimately when you're running around his body. I guess he could be so big that he has his own gravity that you could sort of walk on him like the outside of a spaceship when you've got, like, magnet boots.
Yeah, well, he'd be sort of like a planet.
Because, I mean, it would make sense that God, like, because of the size of the universe, that if God created the universe, that he's actually quite big and it's not that much bigger than him.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Like, or for him, it's like a room.
Yep.
and that we're just kind of like, you know, the stuff that he probably can't even really notice, like, you know, like germs for us.
Mm. Well, I think then it is the I like the idea that in heaven we go, heaven is just God's body, and we do sort of subsist on it like parasites, and he doesn't know that we exist, but we are running around and eating his skin flakes and that sort of thing and sucking his blood, maybe.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you like somehow we have a party and it's like his nipple getting infected.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so then he's like, he's just got a really, really big boil on his nipple. It's getting all pussy.
Alistair, this is a little close to home for me.
Why?
Because this is exactly what happened to me when I got that boil on my nipple. And it was really pussy.
Well, that was probably just, you know, God. Or God, a bunch of little gods partying.
Oh, that was little God.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If there's a big God, I mean, it does really point towards the existence of a little God.
Does it? Is that how things work? Is it? Is that how?
I reckon it's going to be gods all the way down.
Yeah.
And if you get a god small enough, that's what a genie is. Also, sorry, but it just reminded me that the genie thing before. Mm. Do you think that there's anybody's ever done a cartoon where it's like, it's a genie goes sees a doctor and he's got a lamp up him. And he's got to rub him to somehow get the lamp out.
Wait, so the genie has a lamp up him.
Yeah, inside him.
In his butt.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly where. But.
And the doctor has to rub the genie to get the lamp out of the genie.
Yeah. So I don't know if there's a place that where something can get stuck that where rubbing would help to get it out.
Okay. So it'll be in the penis.
Well, that's I mean, that's one possibility, one of many.
Name another one.
I don't know, under your eyelid or something. I guess that'd be more like get God to make your eye blink rather than rub him. But it could be, you know, a form of rubbing.
So, and then what happens once you've got the lamp out of the genie? Does the lamp grant you three wishes or something like that?
Well, if you rub that, the genie will, you know, he's powerless to stop you from asking for wishes.
Mm. Okay. Yes, but I suppose so. But I thought, you know, I thought maybe the lamp will be so relieved. Say it was in the genie's butthole, the lamp would be so relieved to be released that it might grant your wishes.
Yeah, or a three night stay inside the lamp.
Mm. What about a genie who doesn't have any magic? Right, he's in a lamp.
Yeah.
Right. He does come out of the lamp when you rub it, but then you can make the wishes, and he's just a real people pleaser, and he will absolutely do his best to make it happen.
Yeah,
via whatever means are at his disposal. But
this is our new show. It's called Real Genie.
Yeah. Okay. I like it. I think it's a sketch idea.
Yeah, no, I've already written down Real Genie.
Yeah, okay, great.
And I mean, it almost feels like it's just a reality show. It feels like Thorpe's Angels or whatever.
Mm.
There was some show like that where it's like, I mean,
Undercover Angels? Was it Undercover Angels?
Yeah, it might have been Undercover Angels.
It'd be hard to put Thorpe undercover though, wouldn't it? Like, he's got such a distinctive face. And those huge feet. Like
Thorpe,
you'd do facial prosthetics on him or something like that. And then he'd show
up
to...
You've mentioned enough facts about Thorpey that I feel like you're an authority on him.
Yeah, thank you. He'd show up to fix your letterbox or whatever it is that was wrong in your life. And then you'd take one look at those slappers and you'd be like,
yeah.
Thorpey? Thorpey, is that you? Size 14. You're kidding
me. Size 14 feet. I mean, that's a gift enough. But yeah. Look, this guy, real genie, he's just a regular guy, right? And then, but people's wishes are still like, I want to be immortal. I would like to have, you know, like, I would like my wallet, like I would like to have $1 million in my pocket. Mm. And every time I take money out, that money, the more, like, that money gets filled up again in my pocket.
Well, then I think the genie, he goes out and he robs a bank or something like that, or an armored truck. And
well, maybe, yeah. But then also you have to make, like, if you, there's also that sort of devil, you know, like, watch out for what you wish for. Because then you do put them in a scenario in which that happens. So maybe you have to, like, sew them to the machinery of the national mint.
You know? Oh, interesting.
And then you have to just...
This genie with no magic still manages to give you these sort of ironic twists on the thing that you desire.
Yeah.
Possibly that, you know, look, that might be an element too far, but then that might be exactly the element too far that we need to bring this thing to its logical conclusion. I'll take it. Thank you, Alistair.
That's right. It's got to be like a three scenarios kind of thing. The last one is somebody asking for the, you know, to not be able to die.
How are we going for sketch ideas? Is it time for an idea from a listener, or are we?
Yeah, but hang on, Andy. I wasn't quite finished.
Oh, sorry.
The guy says, I want to not be able to die. And so, what do you do? How would you do that? Do you know? He'd kill him straight away, as the wish granting act. You go, because your wish is my command, and you kill him.
Yes.
And then he can't be killed.
Yeah, yeah. I see.
Because there has to be something that, yeah.
It's not quite perfect, is it? Because he was able to die, but only once. You know,
he died before the wish was granted.
Okay.
The wish was he granted him his wish in killing him.
Yeah.
The moment he lost his consciousness, disappeared into the ether, that was when he was granted.
Look, it's good enough for genie logic. I'll take it.
Real genie.
Yeah. I dream
because the guy could be really lazy. He's really lazy, but he's definitely going to make your wish come true. Okay, three words from before I go to three words from a listener, by the way, there's so many people have been signing up to the Patreon recently. Thank you, everybody, so gosh darn much.
It's incredible. Thank you so much.
Andy doesn't even know how many messages I've been getting recently of this happening, but he still finds it incredible. That's how much power it's having.
There's a new Sci-Fi Try Guys up.
Oh, there's a new Sci-Fi Try Guys for anybody who's supporting our Patreon. Also, listener Tommy Jedwards, if that is his real name, maybe it's Tommy J. Edwards, sent through an idea, a sketch idea, which, you know, is not ours, but it's his, and I thought it was on par. It was on par, if not better, than most of the things that we come up with. I mean, it's no
almost
real
certainly better.
You know, because your first name, you know, you're on last name basis, maybe when you first meet somebody, or you know, in work, when you know somebody really well, first name basis.
Mm.
Well, what about middle name? Mm. Well, maybe that could be for when you're somebody's enemy, you're on a middle name basis.
Mm.
Thank you, Tommy Jedwards or Tommy J. Edwards.
I think that's such a funny idea, being on a middle name basis with somebody. Of course, we are on a full name basis with some of our good friends, you know, saying, you know.
That's right.
Their first and their last names.
Yeah, I think Tyra Banks gets that a lot.
Mm. She's one of our everybody good
friends. Everybody wants to say, Tyra Banks. Hey, Tyra Banks.
Yeah, middle name basis. It feels like it should be somewhere on the spectrum, though. Like, as you're going from being a colleague to being a good friend, maybe just, you know, when on the day when someone that you work with is fired, but you organize to catch up outside of work and stay in touch, that's the day when you can call them by their middle name, because that's when they're transitioning. They're in their, you know, their metamorphosis.
I'm not sure I'm ready for first names yet. But and then this other person's like, I'm stuck in this goddamn middle name purgatory. I don't know what's what. I mean, we're not colleagues. We're definitely not colleagues. But we're not on first name basis. It's almost a Jerry Seinfeld bit.
Is it?
No. I mean, not that he's done it, but it just kind of feels. It does. Well, we're not on first name basis. I don't know. I have a sketch idea here, Andy, from David Patrick Nelson.
David Patrick Nelson. Three solid, dependable, respectable names you have there, David Patrick Nelson.
David Patrick Nelson's three first names.
Each one more respectable than the last, I'd say.
Yeah?
Yep.
You don't see, do you hear Patrick as a last name? You hear Fitzpatrick?
I definitely hear Patrick as a last name.
Yeah, absolutely. Michael Patrick?
Yep, all that's right. One.
Now, David Patrick Nelson, he submitted three words, and it wasn't just David Patrick Nelson. Those weren't the three words.
Mm.
The other three words were, do you want to guess what, even like have a guess for all three?
Okay, rhododendron, spelunking, and Tuesdays.
No, Andy, not at all. It's Cafe Disco Apocalypse.
You know what? I feel like I was in the right area.
It wasn't too bad.
I think I was close. Cafe Disco Apocalypse?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I mean, there are no dancing cafes. Are there? In fact, there's almost nowhere where you can go and dance and get a hot drink. It's almost like...
God damn it, you're right.
We've ruled that out as an option.
Yeah.
And I think that's the nanny state. And I don't like it. You know,
yeah,
I
hear you.
I don't see why... You know, there are no hot cocktails. And I don't see why...
Except for a hot toddy.
I can't go to a nightclub and be given a drink in a thermos that I can take out.
But that's almost too practical when you're drinking. I mean, in dancing. I guess you're right. That's what you want. You want a thermos on the dance floor with you?
Yeah, and I got some soup, maybe, or maybe just a hot chocolate.
Did you say a soup?
A soup, yeah, a soup.
Great.
Maybe a broth.
What are you thinking? Ham and
chicken ham? Noodle?
Hell yeah.
Yeah?
Lemon myrtle. I just, for some reason, you know, the audio quality allowed me to think of the words chicken myrtle. I don't know why that works for me. Chicken myrtle.
Yeah, I mean, that's good, Al. Yeah. Anyway, a hot drink disco. And maybe the thermos is too practical. You're right. Maybe it's all everyone with just like mugs or, you know, those low sort of curved. Is that just a cup that you get most of your standard coffees in? What do you call that? A cup? Anyway.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a cup and a mug.
And maybe saucers. I don't know if saucers would still be part of the equation.
Saucers, you know, you've got to have the air, like the semblance of trying to stop people from spilling their drinks.
You know what?
That's what the saucer's for.
I reckon that this could be what drones help with. Because the drone could just hover there and swoop in to give you sips. But if you don't have to hold it, then or maybe even just a little gimbal thing, you know, like they use for like a steady cam. So camera doesn't wobble when you're running around filming something. Everybody's got one of those. They can still have a hot drink on the dance floor.
This absolutely works for me.
Great.
I mean, you could have a three-course hot liquid meal.
Yes.
You know, you start, you get soup, obviously, that's the entree.
Obviously. And then, fuck, Alistair, you've burned through one of your...
and then...
At the end, a bowl of custard. You have hot custard.
Oh, that's a semi-liquid.
Oh, you're ruling that out? Alistair, I was trying to help you here, fucko.
No. Have a hot chocolate.
That's one of the courses in your meal, is it?
That's one of the courses. So first you have entree, and then you skip straight to dessert. And then you have a hot toddy, which is like a nightcap. So it's just like lemon, honey.
I've never been more disappointed in you than
hot water,
right now,
lemon, honey, and whiskey.
Attempt to list a three-course liquid meal. You shot down my perfectly good offer of
custard.
Hot
is
custard.
A semi-liquid, Andy. It doesn't qualify. It's a hot drink, not a hot bowl of something hot. Hey, I mean, if we're gonna play by the rules, we gotta play by the rules, fucko.
I don't care. You're fucko. I'm not fucko. You are fucko.
All right. Entree, dessert, and nightcap is a three-course meal.
This could be what ends the podcast.
Andy, just because I'm not going by your, you know, your set in stone, you know, three-course meal thing. Look, there's tons of courses.
You
can mix them up how you like.
I got to interrupt you, Alistair, because I got to talk about
done, so
Harry's.
You...
I got to talk about Harry's razors. I can't hold it in any longer.
All right, let me hear it.
Well, I would normally do this in the middle of the podcast, but I'll be honest with you, I forgot. But Harry's, you can do yourself an absolute favor, Alistair. Go to harrys.com/thinktank and you can revolutionize your shaving experience. You know, I'm sick of having to go to the shops and get the thing and the packet and the pay the exorbitant amounts of money. I want razors that are delivered to me at an incredibly reasonable price. You know what you get when you go to harrys.com/thinktank? They give you a starter pack that you're going to get the weighted ergonomic handle. You're going to get the five-blade razor with the lubricating strip and the trimmer blade. You're going to get...
that foam?
Don't worry, I'm getting to the foam. That you're going to get that rich, lathering, foaming shave gel that smells delicious. You're going to get a little travel case, okay? This is the real icing on the cake. This little travel case, you clip it over the end of the razor.
Oh, yeah.
Those blades, they're not jostling against whatever it is that you keep in your bag. You know, maybe you've got one of those small dogs that you carry around in your handbag. Okay.
Or a
baby you carry around in a suitcase. You don't want that baby coming out shaved. And likewise, the dog. And that's what that
travel
razor case is for. Harrys.com/thinktank. Get yourself that trial starter kit and change the way you shave to Dave today. That's
You've heard today. You've heard of today. Well, how about to Dave?
And support the people who support the podcast. Alistair, do you want to take us through the sketches that we've come up with today?
I desperately do. We've got, the most classic one, obviously the most classic sketch, Genie wants to win a stay clean shaven contest for longest, for like endurance contest.
Really good.
That's good. Yeah. Then we got the satellite laser hair removal thing, which this one is just it's the two kingpins between two kingpins. One is the kingpin of satellite laser shaving, and the other one is the kingpin of satellite laser
hair
removal.
This is a sketch. I mean, our listeners know a sketch when they hear one.
Yeah.
And I think I can hear them all shouting out, "This is a sketch," in
that's
unison.
Right. Yeah, and then so that's how they battle it out for, you know, top. Mm. It's like Bill Gates and Steve Jobs all over again.
Yep.
They used to be best of friends. They used to just laser hair off back at in their dorm in high school.
Mm. Those guys, they used to stand naked in front of each other, lasering hair off each other. And now look what's happened. They don't even talk anymore.
That's right. They had torn open a couple of Discman.
Yeah.
And just used the laser from that. You know, that's how they did it originally.
That's how they did it. Old school.
And then we've got another sketch, which is use satellite hair removal laser to make people think you're God.
There's way too many hair removal sketches in this podcast.
Andy, no, it's two, and that's a fine amount.
Okay.
You're allowed a top of three sketch ideas on one.
What about the first one, which was a genie who wants to keep a guy clean shaven?
Well, that's three sketches, I guess, in a way. But that one doesn't involve any satellites.
Okay.
Unless you consider that the vampire that we sent over to another planet. I guess as he was kind of coming into that other planet, he might have been orbiting around it a little bit while he was looking for the spot that he wanted to live. And so for that moment, you could consider him a satellite.
Yeah.
Then we've got full contact free climbing.
Mm.
That basically explains itself.
Yep.
Then we got one sport, constant change. It's because it's a world where there's only one sport left, and the rules keep changing.
There's only one rule, and that is we keep changing the rules.
And
there are a lot of rules.
That was the first rule. Well, I mean, that's at the beginning. If that's your basic, that's your first rule, you can extrapolate from that the first rule you might change is that there's going to be a second rule.
That's true.
And you could even set up a little computer program so that every time you create a rule, you don't have to write down, and now there's also allowed to be four rules.
That'd be great.
You could just, yeah, it could just write that automatically.
Oh, I love it so much.
Then we've got running through God's hair, meeting God. He's
scampering.
Megafauna and distracted.
I feel like talking about God being megafauna might be something we've already discussed on the podcast, but maybe not. Feels very novel.
Then we've got real genie. It's a guy who will absolutely grant your wishes.
Yeah.
Make your wishes come true.
He'll
but
do his best.
He doesn't have any magic. Probably a reality TV show.
It could be. Could be.
And it could be a fake reality TV show.
Mm.
Then where we just make it a comedy show.
That'd be easier.
Yeah. God, it would be hard to have to grant people's wishes. Then we got no place to dance and get a hot drink. I think that's great. And the idea is that you show a place where you can, it was the only place in town where you could both dance and get a hot drink.
Mm. Everyone has to have a unique selling point, and that'll be ours. We'll call it the Burns unit. I don't know.
No, I mean, it's possible. We can definitely call
it that. I think I jumped the shark with that.
No, Andy, we're calling it that. I'm going to run it by people in real Burns units, see how
they
feel.
Okay, let's get out of here, Alistair. You ready? Thank you so much for listening to Turn the Think Tank.
Everybody,
we really do appreciate
you.
It. I hope this episode wasn't too clunky.
Yeah, let us know how the quality's coming across in these quarantined long-distance episodes. If there's huge problems, we'll try and work on them.
Yep.
Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on Twitter at @2inTank.
I'm at @StupidOldAndy.
And I'm at @AlistairTB. And you can support us on Patreon. It helps a lot.
But blessings to all the beautiful people.
And thank you to everybody who does. And thank you to everybody who doesn't. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
Mm.
And you can review us if you want on those things. That's also really nice. And also, we
love
you
so much.
So much.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want, it's up to you. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.